And looking up to heaven, he groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, which is, be thou opened. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today I want to point out what it means to go along with the party program. We traditional Catholics, we have many points of concern in today's world, and also difficulties to decide what things to render to Caesar and what things to God. We also have some sorrows, but in this too, we are followers of Christ. In today's Gospel, our Lord, he raised his eyes to heaven and he groaned, not because he thought it necessary to groan or to show any distress, but to teach us to groan or plea to heaven, to God, his Father, who reigns in heaven. And again on the cross, our Lord gave his sacrifice with a strong cry and tears, saying in the words of the gradual, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, O my God, be not thou silent. It's been 3 weeks since Bergoglio set the party line concerning the restrictions on what is the Novus Ordo Church version of the traditional Latin Mass. And ever since, many traditional Catholics, they have been thunderstruck, angry, and even in despair because of this one piece of paper. Hundreds of sermons and podcasts have been made, and probably thousands of blog posts and articles have been written commenting and mostly lamenting this latest party program. But here at St. Gertrude's, we have been warning people instead about not giving in to the demands of the modern world government party program, especially concerning vaccines. And we do this because we know that Bergoglio and his fake bishops, they are members of a non-Catholic sect, which we usually refer as Novus Ordo Church. They aren't true bishops, and we knew already that they hate the Catholic Mass and Catholic teaching. But this whole COVID crisis instead, and the vaccinations connected to it, they are not the concern of just traditional Catholics, but everyone. In practice, every single man, woman, and child on this globe has been affected with this tremendous human experiment. So that's why it's so essential that we Catholics, we resist it. You know from the Catechism that there are the commandments of God, also called the Ten Commandments, and there are commandments of the Church, meant for the Catholics, like attending Mass on Sundays and holy days. But the Ten Commandments, they are legally binding to everyone. Thou shalt not kill, that applies just as much to Catholics as it applies to non-Catholics. And this COVID human experiment, it also concerns us traditional Catholics much more than anything what takes place in the Vatican. In my nearly 10 years of priesthood, the Novus Ordo bishops in Ohio or Wisconsin, they have never sought or succeeded to prevent me to say Mass or are faithful to attend the Mass. But the governors of these states, they certainly gave their best effort last year either to restrict the Mass or ban it altogether. And this crisis of global human experiment is far from over. President Biden recently gave a speech where he directly pointed out who is his enemy right now? The enemy of the president, they are those who refuse to take the jab. This is what he said, quote, people are dying and will die who don't have to die. The data is absolutely clear. As I've said, we have a pandemic of the unvaccinated, end of quote. And he continued that the states with the highest percentage of people who have got the jab are doing just fine, while pandemic is running amok, supposedly, in states where people are not so excited to be vaccinated. And he also added, we have to continue our aggressive efforts to vaccinate the unvaccinated. So you heard it directly from him, aggressive efforts to vaccinate the unvaccinated. It would be useful to remind him, for he certainly doesn't remember it, that after he declared his victory in November, he said, I pledge to be a president who seeks not to divide but to unify, who doesn't see red and blue states but a United States, and who will work with all my heart to win the confidence of the whole people, end quote. That statement certainly didn't age well, or even that long. But this is exactly the tactics of the revolutionaries, to incite different groups of people against each other. Rich against poor, blacks against whites, young against old, or any other part of society against each other. And this is to take their attention away from where the true oppressors lie. It's like a thief shouting, catch the thief. This tactics is always used by the revolutionaries. The Russian Communist Revolution brought oppression and famine to Russians. So the government decided to confiscate the livestock and property of the wealthy peasants, labeled the kulaks, when they understandably were not too eager to hand their property to the communists, they were branded as class enemies of the poorer peasants. The communists said, you see, it's theirs, the rich peasants' fault, that you are starving. Destroy them. So the secret police threatened the peasants with guns, called them bloodsuckers, and pointed out to the starving population that the kulaks were nothing but parias and vermin. Those who didn't go along with the party program were first shamed, then imprisoned, and finally destroyed. So you see, we have in this country today the one truth, the party program, which you are supposed to follow, or else you are branded as a threat to society. Biden said it himself. It is dangerous, but it's even more dangerous that so many people are willing, or at least tempted, to just go along with the party program. So if it takes to mask, to stick a Q-tip into your nose or take the jab. It is a big temptation for many Catholics too to just go along with the vague hope that things will soon return to normal. But they will not. Lockdowns, masks, and vaccines, these things are the new normal. The times when we Catholics could expect protection or at least toleration from the governors and the president, those times are over. Today, you are supposed to keep your mouth shut and go along with the party program, which you learn from the television. It's like in the communist countries. There, the government provided for you and took care of you like a little child, giving you some basic necessities like an apartment, a job, food, more or less, depending how much they thought they could spare to keep people from rebelling, and maybe a car which might or might not work on a given day. As long as you kept your mouth shut, didn't ask any questions, and went along with the party program, you were pretty much okay. You were even allowed to attend church, as long as your church didn't even hint of giving any opposition to the party program, and the priest or pastor of the place was in good terms with the government. That's what Biden's America looks like today, a government which seeks to take care of you, whether you wanted it or not. What are the steps then for the Catholics to resist this party program? First thing, of course, is prayer, especially our rosary, and being faithful to it. When Saint Philomena was imprisoned in the dungeon, Our Lady appeared to her and strengthened her, saying, "I will be your support. Now is the hour of human weakness and humiliation, but when the moment of trial arrives, you will receive strength and grace." Second thing, don't give in or play their games if they seek to brand you as a problem or a threat. Are you an anti-vaccine? If anti-vaccine means that I refuse to be injected with a genetic experiment just because the TV tells me so, well, yes, in that case, I'm certainly anti-vaccine. Are you a fanatic? If that means that I fanatically defend my God-given and law-given rights, both to say and attend Mass, and that no government official has any business to forbid me to do so, then yes, I'm certainly a fanatic. Are you a troublemaker? If that means I'll give trouble to anyone who seeks to treat me like a little child, especially the government, then yes, I'm certainly a troublemaker. Are you a conspiracy theorist? I don't need to be. They have taken away my freedom to move around. They oppress me and shame me because I don't do what the TV tells me to do. And they threaten to isolate and take away my civil liberties if I refuse to take the jab. This is not a conspiracy. This is an open war against God and society by the revolutionaries. Thirdly, don't answer to the revolutionaries' hatred and shaming with anger. Anger will only make you passionate and quick in your temper, and you'd be playing right into their bag. Finland used to have a big communist superpower right next to us, and one of our former presidents used to say that never be provoked when you are being provoked. And that's the sound advice in Biden America as well. Best reaction to their fanaticism is to laugh at them. Father Cecada's best weapon against the church revolutionaries was his sarcasm and humor. To maintain at least a tiny bit of your sense of humor and laugh to revolutionaries who think they can reign God, that's the best tactics against them. And what comes to Biden government, to laugh at them is certainly not hard. Finally, if you are being persecuted and if you are sad because of the state of the world or because of your own difficulties, make sure you don't suffer in vain. This present situation offers us a perfect chance to answer to the call of Our Lady of Fatima to do penance, both from our own sins and of the sins of the world. Almighty God, He never asks us to carry a cross beyond our strength, but He strengthens us with His grace, which we receive from prayer and the sacraments. Once upon a time, so the story goes, a certain man complained to our Lord that the cross he had to carry was too heavy for him. "Master," he said, "I know that to carry a cross is part of a Christian's life, but the one I have is much too heavy a one. If I could only choose my own cross, I am sure I would be able to pick one more suitable for me than the one I must carry at present." So our Lord led the man to the place where all the crosses are made for mankind and told him to make a choice of his own. The man laid down his cross and started his search. The first cross he tried was much heavier than his own, and he rejected it. The next one he picked up was light enough, but it was too long, and when he placed it on his shoulders, it dragged on the floor behind him. So that was rejected too. The third was not planed, and its splinters ran into his hands as he carried it. Another had an ugly knot which bit deep into his shoulder. Hour after hour he searched for one which would suit him, but without success. At last the man chose one, put it on his shoulder, and took a few steps. "Master," he said to our Lord, who had been following his search, "this is the cross which just suits me. You see, it's not too heavy, it's the right size, it has been properly planed, and there are no knots in it to bite into my shoulder. I should like to have this cross because I feel it suits me perfectly." Our Lord smiled and made this reply, "I am glad you have found one that suits you so well. You see, that was the cross you brought in with you when you came." So, dear faithful, your own cross might be a heavy one to carry, but if you are called to do penance a lot, that means our Lord also loves you a lot. And the more He loves you, the better care He takes you in this world, and also the better be your part with Jesus and Mary after your death. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.